This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We've got some great student athletes coming up for you this hour, Mr. Durham. We'll get to that momentarily. It's going to be really impressive what you're going to hear. Guarantee you.
Yeah. Nakai Montgomery will be here from Duke's lacrosse program. Young man from Dallas who's had a significant impact on the field and off. And then Katie Hogan, Jamie Ortega from UNC's women's lacrosse team. Boy, they've been rolling. Looking forward to catching up with them. My twins, Will and Emily, turn 22 today. That's obviously not a picture, a current photo pack. But they get really embarrassed when I show younger kid Will and Emily pictures. And younger Wes pictures, apparently, by the way. So there you go. Nonetheless, looking forward to that. And the transfer portal has become a thing. Has it not, sir? Would you agree with that? It's become a thing?
It's more than a thing. It's a living beast is what it is. And it's sucking up the energy of a lot of coaches and players and fans and broadcasters that are heads are spinning as quickly as people are fake left, go right. I mean, you just – every day, there's just a whole new list of student athletes have decided, you know what, I'm going to go just see what's – take a peek and see what's out there. I hope if you leave, I hope there's a landing spot for you. There are no guarantees. None. Zero.
Yeah. And everybody has been impacted one way or the other. They've had players leave. They've had players come in. But the folks at Verbal Commits have done a really good job of breaking apart the transfer participation rate at the ACC schools in regard to football over the last 3 years. We touched on this a little bit in the opening hour. Some of the numbers, you know, it's happened. Others, and when you think about 85 scholarships, you're looking at three-year averages that are pretty significant, Pack. And in all honesty, you don't say troublesome, but it is of note because, as you said earlier, it impacts the high school recruiting piece of this. And those are the kids, as we get back into the spring and summer and maybe get a chance to visit with Tom Luganbill, I'm curious what he thinks now about where high school recruiting is going into this year, because this upcoming senior class is the one he was worried about last year when we talked about the waiver year being awarded and non-counters as it relates to some of the NCAA legislation. So, nonetheless, here's a look at what Verbal Commits has compiled as it relates to football in the transfer portal regarding ACC schools. And 24/7, I'm sorry, did the football. Verbal Commits did the basketball. Let's look at football first because we started down that road earlier, and I want to kind of finish this. These are the this is the top seven schools, fewest transfers. Players to transfer from ACC programs since 2019. So we're looking at the last couple of years. Okay, Pittsburgh 15, Clemson 17. You know, those numbers, given 85 scholarships packed, those are not as significant, if you will.
No, I think that's actually pretty good, especially when you look at the rest of the country. But there are bigger numbers as we go down the road here. And again, I think the key, as you just pointed out, in football, you have 85 scholarships, so therefore the numbers potentially could be much larger of folks who get up and transfer out of your program. Virginia Tech with 42. We've known how Justin Fuente has kind of put up with the transfer portal now for about the last year and a half, and his head's spinning. North Carolina with 41. Again, start talking about coaching changes. That's kind of a natural fit. A lot of guys go, hey, new coach is here. I'm out of here. Catch you later. So you're going to have an influence there. I think that's one of the reasons you see the numbers with Florida State and Louisville and North Carolina being so high. You had coaching transfers, right? And when that happens, kids are going to get up and leave. Mm-hmm. When you look at the basketball numbers, though, Wes, you know, you start talking about a dozen guys on your team and the numbers of guys that are getting up and walking out the door. There's been some deals in terms of coaching changes, but I think the basketball numbers are more startling than the football numbers.
Yeah, I would use the percentages here based to scholarships, right? These are the basketball numbers compiled by Verbal Commits. And this is now 19, 20, and 21. And here are the numbers. Everybody's been impacted. Pack, what jumps off the page here? Double-figure schools, Pittsburgh, Wake, Boston College?
You know what jumps off the page to me? The exact opposite. Florida State's had one. That jumps off the page to me because that, you know, we keep talking about stability at the top, right? Stability at the top. And we'll sit here and talk about Duke, North Carolina, Virginia, national championships, all that stuff. That guy down there in Tallahassee's built a program. Kids get there, they like it. They want to stay. They want to play. Now, granted, do guys get up early and leave and go to the NBA? Sure they do. I mean, that's a great program. But the fact that Florida State's number was one, to me, was very telling in that whole list, more than anybody else.
Yeah. Sidebar to all this, one of the things that I kind of laughed about this last week because of all the things that the NCAA has to worry about, transfer portal, NIL, good heavens, what else am I forgetting here? Conference administration, equity and tournament play, all these things. Jeff Goodman released a tweet saying that been told that the NCAA is going to track IP addresses for those in the transfer portal and come down hard on coaches who've given their passwords to non-coaches. So all of a sudden, we've got a CIA division of the NCAA to worry about media types and others who might have access to the transfer portal. No offense, Dr. Emmert, that's about the last thing you need to start worrying about is who's got access to the transfer portal, given the climate and some of the landscape we've been dealing with, Pac.
Well, they're going to come down hard on coaches. I mean, have we been talking about this FBI investigation for how many years now? And there's guys still coaching on the sidelines that I've actually heard them on wiretaps. And so now all of a sudden the NCAA, of all people, are going to have a IP address tracked down and we're going to be tough on coaches. Hey, I don't even think they know what they're doing, much less what the coaches are doing.
Right.
You just have to laugh. It's like, guys, surely to God, you have other things you can deal with right now to kind of figure out. Right. You're not capable of tracking somebody down. You wouldn't be capable of tracking down an IP address of the next UPS delivery to your headquarters and figuring out where the box is, much less what the code is of a coach who's passing along for some kid to go to another school. I mean, it's almost laughable. Like, you know, you can get the best. Jerry Seinfeld can't write better material on a tweet than what I just read from Goodman regarding the NCAA tracking down IP addresses. And we're going to come down hard on the coaches. Right. We got you. Good. Way to go, Mark. Time for donuts, another subcommittee meeting. Please. Get on with it. Enough.
Do you think there is it's hard for me to say. I mean, I look at percentages of the numbers of the transfers based on scholarships, things like that. I mean, we've seen stats where, you know, anywhere from 25 to 28% of Division I players are in the portal in basketball. We've discussed a little bit the impact this is ultimately having on the product. You and I are, I think, both concerned about where college basketball fits in the American sporting landscape. In fact, I think we talked about it briefly before the show here. On this topic, remember now that, you know, the NCAA tournament dominates. When college basketball is in its prime, it's that three-week period of the NCAA tournament for most of the American sporting landscape. Now, fortunately, in our league, we've had incredible college basketball success. So college basketball season starts when the schedule starts in the ACC. People are interested. But, Paca, you worry about the sport a little bit in terms of its, and I hate to use the word survival, but how it fits, I think, if, in fact, you go through all this, and, oh, by the way, the window for college basketball is going to tighten a little bit because the National Football League is going to play one more regular season game and potentially push their season another week back as it fits now in the way the sports calendar works.
Yes, I agree. I think I said that earlier. But, listen, college basketball is going to survive because of a $1 billion television contract. And March Madness is going to be an incredible event regardless. It's going to rock, and people are going to be interested. They're going to fill out brackets. They're going to worry about, hey, who's going to win the Office Bowl? They're going to watch games. There's going to be incredible drama. The games are going to be great. March Madness is one of the great sporting events in our country. That is not going to change. Whether even if they push back the dates, we will be interested. What I'm worried about with college basketball is taking for granted that everybody's going to be interested in Chapel Hill, Durham, Syracuse, Louisville, Lexington, East Lansing. You pick, right? I mean, let's not take for granted that just because I can wear a Michigan State jersey, or, hey, you got a Kentucky jersey on, or, hey, this guy over here has got a Carolina jersey on, or a Virginia. Hey, it's an automatic. When you start to assume that kind of stuff, that every year we're into it, you better be careful. And when this sport, right now, given how crazy basically the transaction wire is, because that's kind of what this has become with the transfer portal. There are no rules. Yeah. It's just the Wild West. Kids just get up and leave in the middle of the night. Coaches have no idea how to put together a program how they used to, this whole new world. You are going down a slippery slope that what I'm worried about is all of a sudden people aren't going to watch in November, in December, in January, because we're dialed into college football and the NFL. You mentioned, I said it earlier, the Super Bowl has been pushed back another week into February. I don't want college basketball to get to the point, even in hot button spots, where, hey, we're just interested in the month of March. How you get there, yeah, whatever. We don't even know who's on your team. That is a problem. And you better start addressing that right now, of how you keep people, fans, coaches, players, administrators engaged, that your season matters more than just the NCAA tournament. That is what I'm worried about. Yeah. That's what I'm concerned about.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, we continue. All right, student-athletes are coming your way. We're going to start first in Durham, North Carolina. Nakai Montgomery joins us. He's never been on the show before. You've read up on him. He's unbelievable. We're going to get into a bunch of cool stuff with him. And, of course, Thursdays on ACC Network, appointment viewing when it comes to lacrosse. And Duke Notre Dame get after it tomorrow night, which will be great. But let's go to Duke University. Nakai Montgomery joins us. Nakai, first of all, I just told you this during the break. You, in my opinion, represent everything a student-athlete is supposed to be. You have accepted the challenge. You've given back to community. You've raised money. You're part of social activism. You love your sport. You love your team. You go to work. You do a great job in the classroom. Congratulations. And given the background, playing lacrosse, you are an incredible story.
Thank you, man. Like I said earlier, man, that means a lot to me, and my mom would be really proud to hear that too.
You know that's the truth. It always comes back to mom, man. Let me tell you, mom and dad, right? But you know, growing up in Dallas, not the best part of town. Mom's working like crazy. Dad's working like crazy. All of a sudden, you got an opportunity to play a sport that really, quite frankly, not a lot of folks play. How does all that come along in terms of, hey, I need to get my act together and let's go rock and roll here? How does that happen?
I mean, honestly, just great people that my mom has kind of always surrounded me with. Just kind of each person just kind of, I just got gems coming from everywhere. And each one just kind of helped me kind of matriculate into the man I'm becoming.
Nakai, a lot of things kind of transition you from growing up in Dallas to eventually coming to Duke. And I know the impact of Emmitt Smith has been significant. Obviously a great player in the National Football League, Pro Football Hall of Famer, all these things. Take us through that relationship and what's that meant to you now as you work through your senior season at Duke?
Yeah. So he and his wife have a philanthropic organization called Team 22. Obviously, 22 was the number he wore in his Hall of Fame career with the Cowboys. And, you know, it was just powerful, like, being around, like, a successful black man, like, all the time. You know, that makes you believe. That makes you believe the sky's the limit. That makes you and it makes you start thinking, like, why can't that be me? And eventually you're like, that's going to be me. So I mean, it was powerful, yeah, and it was really cool.
Through all that, you had an opportunity to go to the White House and meet President Obama, and you said you felt empowered. I'm sure you probably think back to that from time to time just as a reminder to keep you on the straight and narrow, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, it's anything you want to do in life is hard, and it's going to require sacrifice, no matter if you're playing lacrosse at Duke or you have a family and a mortgage in 10 years or anything like that. So, you know, just like I said, just kind of being around Emmett and like him, the exposure that he gave me, obviously by taking me to the White House and allowing me to meet the first black president, just kind of reemphasized kind of all those points and how to be successful, how to get there, how to carry yourself once you're there, how you interact with strangers, just all kinds of just small things like that. It was cool to get to go to the White House and meet Obama.
All right, so now here we are, the Duke lacrosse program. You're playing at arguably the highest level collegiate lacrosse can offer you. You're senior, you got the academic side of this thing going hard. I mean, we're getting toward the end of the semester, so, you know, you got competition on the field, you got competition off the field. So take us through what the last couple of weeks are going to be like. And, oh, by the way, what, you're playing tomorrow night, and I just heard that you got a test tomorrow and Notre Dame? I mean, which one's going to be harder? Let's put it that way.
Notre Dame will be harder. I mean, they're a good team. We're fired up to play them, to play them again. You know, I mean, they're well coached, and obviously last time we played them, we didn't have our best foot forward. So, I mean, we're excited to get to play them again. But, yeah, I know I have an exam tomorrow. I totally wish I didn't.
By the way, what's the exam in? What class is that?
Evolutionary anthropology. It's like a 250 level course, you know, not too easy, not too hard.
Okay. So Notre Dame is harder than that class, is what you're telling me.
No doubt.
All right. So let me ask you something. Notre Dame in lacrosse would be the equivalent of what class at Duke?
Notre Dame in lacrosse would be equivalent to like,
putting you on the spot.
I don't know. My freshman year, I took this class called Intro to Political Economics. It was maybe a little bit like that.
Okay. And listen, I'm an econ man, so you know what? You're not impressing me with that one, Makai. I thought you were going to come after me with some physics or chemistry or some nonsense like that. We have no idea what's going on.
Oh, man, they're not that hard.
All right, so you and I, listen, you copy off my paper, I'll copy off yours. We'll glide through this, man. That's a piece of cake.
Oh, yeah.
That honor system.
We'll figure this thing out together.
Yeah, forget that honor system. We got this thing licked. All right, I want to get back in the real world a second. You've got a tattoo of Kobe Bryant on your wrist.
I do.
The impact that Kobe had on you, and God rest his soul, one of the incredible stories, not to mention the player and what he gave back to society. And again, being a Dallas guy, explain the impact that Kobe had on you and moving forward, how that influences you.
Yeah, so last season, obviously the 2020 season, the one that got canceled, on my helmet the whole year, kind of, you know, like when you watch lacrosse, we have like tape on our face mask. And on my helmet, I had like an infinity sign, I had Mamba, and I had Eno. And Eno is my mom's name. And so that was kind of like what I played for that season. And obviously the season got canceled. And so I was like, I think it'd be pretty cool to get a tattoo. Just cause, you know, 2020, crazy year. And just nuts. But I mean, the reason I had Kobe is just because it's kind of an example like his of like how he lives his life and obviously how he plays the game of basketball, like transcends the game of basketball. You know, he wants to be great, but like in all aspects of life, on the court, off the court, like he kind of just strive to be, you know, he kind of just strived to be like a perfect human. And not that I'm going to be perfect, or like, that's not why I love Kobe. I love his inspiration. And like I said, how everything he does kind of transcends the game of basketball.
Yeah. Gone too soon. No question
Nekai,
about that.
I want to ask you a little bit about the Duke Uncut project that you've been involved with, which is really a process that allows student athletes to kind of not only tell their story, but also share things about their respective sports. I know Mike Buckmeyer just released one a couple of days ago. I haven't had a chance to see the whole thing, but I saw some clips of it on social media. Why is Duke Uncut an important project? And I know that Carolina has a version and there are other schools that are doing similar things. Why is it important? And Mark and I have talked about this a lot on the show. Student athletes right now in major college sports, really in all college sports, have a bigger voice than they've ever had. What is it about that particular project that you're passionate about? And what do you think older folks like ourselves or other people who are fans of ACC sports or college sports can learn from student athletes who are in the moment, if you will, right now?
Yeah. With Uncut, we're just kind of doing our part to flip the narrative. You know, like for so long, student athletes' stories have been told by other people, and we're trying to give student athletes a platform to tell their own stories and express their talents and their interest to the world. And so for me, I mean, it's just cool and like powerful, you know. It's the new wave, like, to be honest. Like, you know, the new thing is not just student athletes doing and saying and telling what other people want to hear. You know, it's telling how we feel and what we do and informing the world and that we are more than athletes.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to go back to Kobe since it meant so much to you. I know that the estate said we're not doing any more business with Nike. And I know you got that Nike swoosh on that Duke sweatshirt right there. Have you seen Zion's new shoe that he's released? Did you see that yet?
Of course.
Yeah. What do you
Great
think?
Shoe.
You like it?
Cool shoe, man. Yeah, I mean, he's 20 years old and he's got a shoe. That's just fire. I think the next signature shoe. I think a woman needs a signature shoe next. But yeah, I mean, he's got the Zion one. Like, that's fire.
All right, let me ask you something. You are a bright dude. I hope we can get you back because I think you are a fascinating guy. Who do you think will be the next first woman to release a shoe? In your mind, who would be the right person for that shoe release?
So I was talking to someone about this actually last night, which was funny that you asked that question. I'm not sure. I don't know. I just think about like women basketball players, like they wear Kyries and they wear KDs, and like if a woman had a shoe, I think it'd be worn in the men's game. I just think like why not?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that my number one prospect would probably be Ionesco.
Yeah.
Or Elizabeth Cambridge could get one. I don't know. A lot of Paige Beckers needs one. Yeah. She's nice.
Hey.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's plenty of women basketball players whose names we all know, and like I said, whose shoe would be. I mean, imagine an NBA game where the guy you're guarding is wearing Kyrie's and you're wearing, you know, like a woman's shoe, and like maybe someone else in the league decides to wear a woman's shoe, and then like, you know, why not?
Wear the men's shoes. Hey, listen, Dirk Nowitzki brought home a championship to Dallas. We're expecting you to do the same thing in Durham now. You got a chance because it's going to be some kind of ride coming up.
Oh yeah, we got to, man. We're excited. We're doing all we can, man. We're putting in the work. We're working hard, and we're dialed in. We're having fun with it. So, see what happens, man. These are exciting times ahead.
You got it. Listen, keep up the great work. You are really an impressive young man. I mean, really, really impressive for everything you do in the classroom, on the field, and more importantly, with community. You get it, and you are a great, great representation of the ACC and Duke University.
Thank you guys so much. Like I said, man, that means a lot. Thank you guys for having me on the show.
All right.
Go Duke.
Nakai, next time you come back, we're going to talk about the Dallas Stars and Wu-Tang Clan, because I know that's – we'll get into music and all sorts of other stuff. That'll be fun to do.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Wait till Katie Hogue and Jamie Ortega join us here in just a moment from UNC's world-class lacrosse program and realize that they're talking to a guy who's got his own bobblehead. Just think what a moment this is for them.
Hey, I've had it for 20 years. It's like no big deal. I mean, I was doing bobbleheads before there were bobbleheads, for crying out loud. Yeah. All right, let's continue the quality of the student-athlete of the ACC. We're going right from Durham over to Chapel Hill. We keep telling you how great lacrosse is in this league. It doesn't matter the gender. It almost doesn't matter the team, because there's going to be a small number beside their name, because that's how good they are. Katie and Jamie now join us from Chapel Hill, and they really are the dynamic duo. You want points, you want assists, you want goals. Here they go. On your mark, get set, go. First of all, Katie and Jamie, welcome to the show. Good morning. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having us.
I like it. Talking at the same time. Just like we like it four wide. All right. We're going to make this real simple. Wes and I will alternate questions, all right, to both of you. So this will be very, very easy.
Sounds good.
Katie, let's start with just how all this works. The chemistry you guys obviously have on the field, but the chemistry of your team. Coach Levy's been with us a couple times. We love talking to Jenny. It's fantastic every time. What's this team like? How's this team kind of come back from the disappointment of not playing a year ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think we just take an attitude of gratitude every single day. We know that our season can be taken away in like a blink of an eye. So we just really appreciate every opportunity we have to be together, not only on the field, but off the field as well. And we try to treasure every single moment that we have together.
Jamie, this question's for you. You two are experienced. You're vets. You've been down the road before. Do you remember when you two first met in Chapel Hill and how that relationship and friendship has carried on, which to me is the part of the great experience, which is college, whether you play a sport or not. But do you remember the first time you two met?
Yeah, I mean, what's funny is for my official visit, I stayed with Katie. She was like my host, so our friendship kind of started there. And then when I came in freshman year, you know, usually freshmen are pretty close with the sophomore class, which Katie was in. And I think just the more we played together, the more we socialized, I think it just came from there and just started to grow each and every day.
You know, it's interesting because we've been talking about, you guys have been rolling here as of late, but a couple of Saturdays ago, we were getting down into the final minutes or so at South Bend in the rain. Jamie, I think you had the game winner against Notre Dame. What was that like? I mean, you guys are on the road. Look cold, by the way. I know it was raining. And here we are. Again, women's lacrosse, it's high-level stuff in this league. But take me through that moment, Jamie. Was that like a defining moment of maybe what this season could be about?
Honestly, that game was really fun. I think all of us really enjoyed it. That was the closest game we've had all year. And I think that we needed a game like that to teach us what we really needed to work on when things don't go our way, when we're down or we're trying to go goal for goal. And I know in like that moment that like I knew I had to step up. I knew I had to be a leader for my team. And, you know, I did what I could, and they were helping me out. And, I mean, I really liked the game. I think all of us did. But at the same time, we know that if we see them again, it's going to be a different game and kind of just going forward. We just have so much potential, and each game's not going to be perfect. So hopefully we can keep reaching our potential and learning what we have to work on.
Mm. All right, this question is for both of you, and I'll start with Katie. You know, we cover all the sports in the league for all the teams. And I think right now where North Carolina is, soccer, women's soccer, awesome, right? Field hockey, spectacular. Basketball has always been bigger than life. Mack Brown's got it going on in football. Do you guys feel like stars? Or do you kind of feel like, hey, you know what? We're just college kids having fun. We win all the time, and it's fun. We get along great. So I'm going to lead off with you, Katie. Do you feel like you're a, you know, big star on campus, or hey, that's all noise? Just curious.
Honestly, no. I think it's just been lacrosse. It's just been a part of our lives forever, and you know, we're just used to working together and, you know, trying the best we can, and it's all we really know. So to say that I feel like a star would probably be a stretch, but I mean, there's definitely a unique sense of pride, like putting on the jersey. And in that sense, I feel like it's definitely a special moment every single time. So in that sense, I feel like a star, but definitely not like individual wise do I feel like I'm the big star on campus.
Got it. Jamie, same thing with you. Just curious.
Yeah, I would say probably not. I honestly feel like just like an average athlete. I don't think people like see us and are like, oh my God, it's Jamie and Katie. Like, I just feel like we're kind of like just like a little hidden. But I mean, even if we were, I don't think any of us would let that get to us just because that's not who we are.
Hey, by the way, I want to follow up on that. So when you two come walking through the door, do you hear, oh, here comes Jamie and Katie? I mean, are you two like connected at the hip? I mean, is it that kind of relationship, or are we reading too much into that?
I mean, sometimes, but not every time.
Okay.
Maybe right. Like
during
the 5 days of practice.
All right. I'm gonna level with you a little bit here. Mark and I have picked up on one of the nuanced rules of women's lacrosse, and both of this rule is applicable to both of you. We've noticed now that when goals are scored, of course, the stick has to be checked to make sure it's legal and all this other stuff. We've noticed there are a variety of ways that the stick is delivered to the ground after the goal. Some people are very mild-mannered. They go over. They'll lay it on the ground. Some people, you know, go to the other end of the spectrum and spike it. Do you think about it? Do you think about, I'm going to sling a ball in a net, and here's your stick. Like, that was very polite, Katie, on that goal. You know, here's another one. Yeah, again, polite, Pack. I'm noticing a trend. There's another one. Polite. Yep, just drop it on the ground. So what are we looking for after the goal gets scored? What's our ammo here?
I think for me, it's just, like, an out-of-body experience, and I don't really think about it. But I don't know. I think all of our team kind of just does it in a way that we're like, oh, we've done this before. Like, we just throw it on the ground. But I don't know. I think I don't really think about it. And then after, I'm like, what did I even do? Did I throw it? Did I drop? Like, I don't even remember. But I think a lot of us just kind of toss it to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just, like, toss it as fast as possible so then I can go, like, hug my teammates. But then other times, like, I know I've chucked it maybe once or twice, not a lot. Just because in the heat of the moment, you're like so like hyped about like the goal or the play that like your emotion kind of takes over. But most of the times I don't know what I'm doing.
All right, Jamie, I'm just going to tell you real quick here. Okay. And then I'll let Mark finish this up. At Notre Dame, if it were me and I'd have scored that goal in the rain late to win, tell him, Pack, I'd have slung that stick 30 yards down the field. I would have thrown that stick out to Goshen, Indiana. I'm just saying. I mean, that's what would have happened. Right, Pack?
Yeah, they'd still be looking for it. All right, I want to follow up. We do this with every student athlete. And I'll go with Katie first, but you both have to answer this. Since you've been at the University of North Carolina, what has been your hardest class? Katie, you're up first.
Probably like organic chemistry or something. I took a bunch of science classes as like a pre-health route, so that would probably be my hardest.
Yeah, I hear you on that. All right, Jamie, what do you think? Now, Jamie, if you say the same thing, I'm going to call, you know what, on both of you. If you say the same thing.
Don't worry, I don't take the same classes.
Okay, good. All right, good.
I would probably say one of the econ classes I took. It's definitely not for me. during that freshman year. So I would say that.
All right. There's Econ showing its ugly head again. You know,
tell you what, Econ is winning.
Econ in 21 with the student athletes has been difficult, causing a problem. That worries me a little bit. Got to be honest with you.
All right, you guys have been on a great tear. We're looking forward to watching the automatic qualifier in field hockey this weekend. You guys, I know, follow the other sports. I know student-athlete bonding at Carolina's something that goes on. It's pretty good. How much do you guys connect with the other spring sports this time of year, especially one like field hockey where they get some spring this year? That's kind of weird, right, to have – you know, Coach Shelton and her team playing in the spring, soccer playing in the spring, that kind of thing. I know you guys will be paying attention while you got your own stuff with Duke this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we try to watch as many games as possible as, like, our friends on the other teams. I know, like, especially because of field hockey and soccer, I love watching our women's soccer team. They're so fun to watch. And our field hockey team is so good, so I feel like a lot of us enjoy watching them, have friends on the team, and then also with, like, men's soccer, men's lacrosse, baseball. You know, it's fun. It's like, feels like it's high school all over again. All these sports are playing all together, and it's not just lacrosse.
I want to ask one more question before we go, and I really appreciate the time because I know you guys are busy, busy, busy. But, you know, we had the buildup of North Carolina Syracuse 1-2. And I'm watching on a Saturday morning, and Syracuse jumps you early. And the next thing, you know, I took the dogs out for a quick walk. I came back, and it was over. I mean, you just put it in overdrive, and it was rearview mirror. See you later. Same thing happens. North Carolina goes up to the dome for the men, and they beat the daylights out. Is there something personal that Syracuse really ticked everybody off in Chapel Hill in the lacrosse world? Because the men and the women have showed zero respect to the Orange and these showdowns. I'm just curious if there's something we need to know about that.
I mean, I think we just love playing Syracuse anytime. They're always a strong competitor. I don't really know what goes on in the boys' side of things, but I think for us, we were just so excited for that game, and I always love playing Syracuse every single year, no matter what their ranking is. So we always get really pumped for that, and I'm sure they did too.
Yeah, no boys. Doubt. No doubt. Jamie, listen, both of you, congratulations. Awesome careers. Congratulations with your academics, and stay healthy. Finish it off, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life. And no.
That's right.
We are not done with sponsorships. No, no. If you think we're only giving you one sponsorship this segment, you would be wrong. False.
That's
brought to
right.
you by Dish.
That's
false.
Right.
But there are more.
That's it. Let's get to Food Lion's Food for Thought on today's edition of Packer and Durham. Louisville and Kentucky play tonight in softball. The series is as close as it could possibly be. Each team has won 20 of the 40 games played. The last time these two teams met 2 years ago, the Cards won the game. Louisville's been a tough luck loser this season. 4 of their 15 losses coming against top 10 teams. The other 11 have all come against teams in the top 25. So Louisville and Kentucky tonight, tied at 20-20 in softball. That is today's Food Line Food for Thought. Mr. Packer.
Yes, sir. And that's just one of two big ACC, SEC softballs. I mentioned Clemson, South Carolina, first time. They'll get after each other. And that's always fun in the Palmetto State, always fun in the Commonwealth. Give us something to talk about tomorrow for sure. I got something I'd like to say. This will be short and sweet. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this. But I'd like to congratulate everybody at ESPN. The shows and all the employees who were nominated for a Sports Emmy this week. And the list is way too long for me to go through. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of shows and incredibly talented people in front and behind the camera who got nominated. And whether you win or lose really doesn't matter. The fact that you're nominated is really the most important thing. And it leads us to our show, Packer and Durham. You know, last year, in our very first year, we won a Sports Emmy. And I will just tell you, I proudly display it right here. And once again this year, we are very humbled to have received a Sports Emmy nomination for the best live sports studio show in a basement with dogs. And last year we had some tough competition, and I saw the list. We were honored that we're nominated again. We'll try to go back to back for ACC Network and join, you know, Scott Van Pelt and, you know, Kirk Herbstreit and all the others, and great shows, Game Day. But we've got Buffy and Friends we're up against, and another show called Harold's Hot Takes and Hot Cakes. Now, I don't know of Harold's Hot Takes and Hot Cakes, but we're up against it. But we'll do our best to win. Now, we have no control over the voting, but the fact that we were nominated again for the best live sports show from a basement with dogs, we are very, very honored and humbled. And so we'll do our best to go back to back. There they are.
There they are.
The hounds. I'm glad we're not. Show.
Yeah.
So that's my pass it on. But congratulations to the other shows and individuals at ESPN that were nominated this week for Sports Emmys. We're proud to just be part of it.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.